Today we will be listening to your word. We'll be taking it in, Lord God. We'll be learning and we'll be living it. Lord, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you always for everything is because you allow it to be. Lord, I want to say thank you for Alma and for Sandy who will be sharing today. And I ask you, Lord, to feed them what you want us to hear, Lord God. I ask you, Lord, to touch our hearts, touch our minds today, that we can go out and we can search more people out for you, Lord God, do your work for you. And I thank you, Lord. I'm handing this over to you.
If you guys want to stand, we're just going to start with a song and get in the spirit here.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence, you've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come to we'll sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Faithfulness, faithfulness. still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. Still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me again. And you never failed me yet. I never will forget. You never failed me yet. I never will forget.
Thank you, Lord. Do you guys believe that? He's never failed us yet. You know, I was preparing for today. Yesterday, I was doing my notes and different things, and I just really wasn't feeling well, you know. And then my mind, you know, kind of started to not, you know, feel so well. And Elma sent that song to me, and the minute, you know, in that Jerry Maguire movie, it's like you had me at hello. I heard like the first word of that song, and the Lord had me just like that, because He's so faithful. And just now I was thinking when we were playing the song that, you know, that woman who pushed through the crowd to touch the hem of His garment. And then, and He says, I felt power go out from me. Who touched me? He was faithful that if we push through and we, this isn't my teaching, just saying. But if we push through and we touch the hem, we just touch Him. He's so faithful. He's always been faithful. I mean, He moves mountains. Raise your hand if He's moved a mountain in your life, right? And he desires to move more. He desires us to, like, He wants to set the captives free, right? Okay. All right. So this is titled New Beginnings. I don't know about you guys, but always this time of year, because I've been busy or something, like in the summer, or I didn't do it before, I feel like cleaning out the closets and stuff like that. Is anybody like cleaning right now? I'm just saying. It's not January 1st for me, and it's certainly not spring. I mean, I kind of do things along the way, right? But when I'm really going to take charge of this thing, it's when the kids go to school, and I'm going to start digging around, and I'm going to start getting organized. I'm going to push the restart button. I think that happens spiritually sometimes too, you know, that... I mean, do you ever kind of like walk around and you maybe got this thing over here, but you're kind of like, you know, walking around and doing all these things. And then, you know, there comes a time where you need to like kind of maybe clean out the closet, right? And I think that's what some of the things Keith Tusey was talking about. So raise your hand if you were here when Keith Tusey was here and you heard that amazing message. Okay. So if you haven't, I would encourage you to listen to it because it's amazing. So he was talking about those things. Have you guys been talking about some of them things since he's been here a couple weeks ago? He's talking about those things that we sometimes stumble over or kind of learn to live with, the things. But he, even though I printed really well, I did it for Felicia because she laughs at my print. I'm still putting the readers on, just saying. It's for you. Okay, so he brought Romans 8:28. And we know, which speaks to intimacy, that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So we all have things. We all have had things. Maybe those are some of the things that the Lord has removed, some of the mountains that He's moved. But we all have things. Maybe you have more than one thing. You know, but let's see, at 51, and I've been in this church for, I was 23, a long time. Went by like that fast, right? That fast. I know that things can wear us down, you know. Things can be really hard sometimes. But I also know that they don't last forever. Like, what does grandma say? This too shall pass. Depending on how we address it. I didn't think grandma said that part. But I'm a grandma now. So I can say that, right? Okay. So with that wear and tear, I think that we get sometimes, the enemy wants us to give up. It's a scheme that he plays on us. Or maybe it's you're not going to give up. You just kind of resign yourself to it. It's just never going to change. It's been that way for 20 years. Is this still on? I felt like it. Okay. But one thing I want to tell you guys is an encouragement. Our weaknesses or lack, they don't define us, and they're not the sum total of who we are. We're so much more than our weaknesses or those things. And sometimes the things seem like that's all we are. But it's a lie. It's not true. You know, he referenced, I'm just kind of going on his message a little bit. He talked about being destined for greatness that he got from a message from Pastor John. I have always known that I'm destined for greatness. Have you just felt that little inside, small voice inside you that says there's more? Raise your hand if you guys have felt that way. We have a family Facebook group, and I recently posted a bridge and input that I always love bridges and pathways because it speaks to me and calls me to the other side where I can see there's something more on the other side. There's something more that God's calling us on the other side. Do you believe that? You know, we have done, yes, we're destined for greatness, and we have done many great things. I know most of you very well, and you have done many great things already. But there's much more to come. Greater things are yet to come, like the song says. But let's just talk about those things for a second, because we got to talk about them, right? We got to talk about them if we don't want those things to continue to be a stumbling block. So I was thinking about how they're like toxic areas. I mean, we hear that word thrown around all the time now. Toxic this, toxic food, toxic toxic. I actually just looked it up because I'm just like, you kind of know what toxic means, but like, what is it? It just says poisonous. I'm like, Lord, poisonous. We have areas that are poisonous to our walk with the Lord that come against the reason we're born and for the destiny that we have in Christ. But I was thinking, it seems like I think in analogies all the time. So I think about a beautiful home. Imagine a beautiful home. But you got a leaky roof, right? And then that leaky roof becomes your focus, kind of. Got to fix the roof. The roof, and now I'm at this, and the carpet. You just go on and on about the leaky roof, you know? But it really doesn't change the rest of the beautiful house, right? You just got to deal with the leaky roof, right? And I think that's how it is spiritually, too. You know, let's see. It's kind of like if you're diligent and you have a good plan, you can fix the leaky roof. It doesn't have to ruin the house, right? But we let it kind of like take over, right? We let something like kind of consume us, and we don't enjoy what the gift has been given to us because we're focused on the leaky roof, which is fixable, right? Do you believe it? Is this making sense? But when he was here, you know, many of you probably wrote some things on the board, and some didn't. That's okay, because the Lord is probably speaking to you what that thing is. But then he had an altar call, and I'm moseying on up there, you know. Did anybody feel like abbreviating their thing? I just wanted to ask. Like, I don't know if I want to write it up there exactly for everybody to see, you know. But I was standing up there as he was praying, and, you know, we're just in the spirit, you know. And he actually made mention of praying in the Spirit. How often do you pray in the Spirit? But I was praying in the Spirit. Kind of like maybe different than I had in a very long time. And in that moment, he showed me something, a thing. And I was like, Lord, you did not just show me that thing. I didn't even know that thing was there. Did not know that thing was there. But immediately I said, I forgive him. But if I had not been in his presence, I don't know if I would have seen it then. You know, he's faithful though, right? He's going to try to reveal that thing to me so it doesn't become a stumbling block, right? But I'm so very grateful for the Lord that he exposes the leaks, right? But not to condemn us, but to set us free and to bring healing and to repair things. You know, this is coming to me right now, I'm just going to say it. Sometimes we're afraid to even go there. We're just a little like, you know, I have to tear something out. But the Lord, whatever he replaces, is always so much better than the thing we've been trying to live with, that we've become complacent about, or it just becomes normal. It just seems normal. It's not normal. It's not normal. I mean, there's some things that seem like they're normal because it's always been that way. It's been that way for 20 years. It's not normal. The Lord wants to talk with those things, and he wants to bring healing in those things, and he wants to set the captives free in those things, and I don't care if we've been here for 25 years. Yes, he set us free for all those other stuff, but what about that? Why does that keep rearing its ugly head, right? I listened to the CD again yesterday, and man, I was like, wow, he was really talking about the attack of the enemy in this. Like, I don't remember that, kind of, but he was really talking about it. And he says, find the devil and kick the door down. I was like, whoa. You know, I remember back in the day when I came into this church with a spirit of fear, and the ladies were telling me, that's a spirit of fear. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going crazy. I'm not losing my mind. Really? Yeah, I'm not losing my mind. It's a spirit of fear. Okay. But that I had power through the Holy Spirit to deal with that, that was big for me. A 23-year-old girl coming against the kingdom of hell in her house, you know. But the Lord moved, and he did deliver. That thing will try to rear its head if I'm not careful. But it doesn't have a hold on me anymore. Sometimes you might need to check that spot, that leak spot, right? Make sure it's not getting damp or something, you know? But don't ignore them. Find the devil and kick the door down. Remember back in the day when you're putting scriptures on the fridge and you found freedom? He broke that thing because you shook the gates of hell? Sometimes I don't think I do that enough anymore, you know? So I want to look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, demolishing strongholds, that's military language for capture and destruction of a fortress. Okay. We demolish arguments and every pretension. Okay, let's look at that for a second. Arguments and pretension. Views, opinions, judgments. It's your mindset. Okay? So the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I came across this when I was studying yesterday. Against the knowledge of God. The thoughts of men resist the knowledge of God as the stronghold of rebels resists the armies of the rightful king. I just love that. Let me read that again. This is what's coming against the knowledge of God. The thoughts of men resist the knowledge of God as the stronghold of rebels resist the armies of a rightful king. So they're talking about like a resistance to the truth. You know, and a lot of times that's where the things are. They're a resistance to the truth. They're a resistance to what Christ died and sacrificed himself. You know, yes, salvation, praise the Lord, but life and abundantly here. You know, I want to walk in freedom because I know, like, that path. I see those pictures. I see around the bend. I see the light over there. I want to go over there, you know. Find the devil, kick the door down, right? Find the devil, kick the door down. You're going to like this. Take captive. Okay, let's finish the thing first. I'm going to read the sentence or the scripture. Okay, so we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay, you're going to take captive or you're going to be captive. You're going to take captive or be captive. It's happening regardless of whether you're sitting on the couch and letting it all happen. If you turn a blind eye or you become lazy in an area or complacent or whatever, something's being taken captive. You're being taken captive if you're not dealing with the things. So take captive or be captive. You know, I wasn't going to share this. I didn't plan on sharing this, but during the song, like back when we were praying, and then here be when the song was playing, I felt like the Lord said to do it and to share it. I've shared it before, maybe at a breakfast. But I woke up one morning, and I had a vision of somebody that I love, fiercely love. Can I see that chair right there? Got it right here. It's good. Okay. So this person that I fiercely love, actually the Lord fiercely loves us enough to die on a cross and be crucified, beaten and insults and everything, right? So the person I fiercely love is sitting in the chair in this vision that I have. And there's a circle encamped around them. And I knew it was the enemy. Many encircled. And they would take turns and whisper and tell them that they're stuck in the chair. And another would come in and lie. You're never going to get out of the chair. Different things over and over again. But the fact of the matter was, is that they were not bound to this chair. They were not, hands were not tied and their feet were not tied, and yet they were in the chair. I think we do that sometimes. You know, let me just see what the scripture is. Think about them. It's in Mark 4, I believe. Maybe it's Mark 1. The leper comes to Jesus. And he said, "If you're willing, Lord, will you heal me?" It actually says he was indignant. I'm like, look that up. He was annoyed. I'm like, the Lord was like annoyed and a little maybe slightly angry about that. That's weird. So the Lord was indignant. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. This is what he did. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So this is what's really going on here. If we could pull back the spiritual realm. We're sitting in the chair and we're not tied. We are his, right? He's already set us free, forgiven. You know, all these things, you know it all. We've been here for a long time. Even though we're sitting in the chair. But he forgives us for that, right? What if we repent? And I say, "Lord, if it be your will you heal me? Will you deliver me?" And he reaches out his hands and he says, yes, I will. So it's up to us if we're going to say, Lord, I know it's been 20 years. I know that. I've been here before. I've dealt with this thing several times. But if you're willing, Lord, and he said, I am. So it's up to you. It's up to you. But one wonderful thing about all of it is you got to remember, it's this is not the sum total of who we are. He just wants to set us free to live out our destiny. So that's what I have for you. And Elma's going to come up and take the microphone and speak a little bit about who we are in Christ and our identity.
Thanks, Andy. Great job. How you guys doing? So we talk about the things, you know. How many of you did go up and write something? How many of you were quick to know what that thing was? I struggled with that, and I talked to Sandy about it this last couple of weeks and kind of, and not I'm not trying to be prideful or anything. I'm like, what are those things, you know? And the more I meditated and prayed, more things kept coming up. I was like, whoa. Because sometimes we don't see those things, like Sandy said, because they've been there for years. Or they were there and they keep creeping back in. Do those things identify who you are? Do people know you by, you know, being that lonely single gal? Do people know you by that bitter woman or by that rejected ex-wife, the gossiper, the procrastinator that's always late? Oh, that hurt. You know, that was like the last thing. And that was, I mean, I've always struggled with that, but it was so weird. It was like the last thing that came to me. And I'm like, I still struggle with that. She talked about a leaky roof. I have a car. This is bad. I have a car that's been overheating for, I don't know, a month or two. Needs to get repaired. I haven't taken it. I have a check in my purse that I've had for, I don't know, a month or two, and I have not taken it. I mean, it's a check. It's money taken to the bank because I procrastinate. Can anyone relate to that? Because any? Oh, okay. I'm not alone. Okay. Do we want to be known by those things, you know, when we look back, you know, at our children or at people that know us? Is that what we want to be known as? Who are we placing our identity on? Another thing, you know, many of you know my son Miguel, and recently within the last couple months, he's moved out. He's 24. He's not, you know, 18 like children. He moved out. You're clapping because he moved out or because, oh. And that's what I thought. I'm like, he's going to leave him. And I've really been struggling with it. It's, I identify myself that single, and it's been me and him for so many years. Since he was 3, I divorced his father, and it's been me and him, and it's been pretty tough. I've felt sadness. I've felt a sense of loss. What do I do with my life now? You know, I've been the mom, the single mom for so long. Then this word came up, and I don't like this word. You guys like, I'm sure you've heard it, idolatry. And we think of that. I don't think we think of that in modern terms. We kind of think of it, that's a biblical term. That's what, you know, the Israelites did and those people. But I think it is relevant today because I looked it up. And it says, you know, it says worship of idols, which, you know, we read that in the Bible. It also says extreme adoration or love, reverence for something or someone. Can anyone relate to that? Do we have some of those? Having excessive attachment. Placing anything above God is idolatry. And, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, being a mom is, I mean, those of you and the new babies, I mean, it's great. Being a mom is the biggest blessing. It's the most rewarding. But that's not all we are. God has a plan for us that's so much greater than we can even imagine. One of the other things that I struggle with, another one of my things, or, you know, this idolatry, putting other things above God. How many like to watch TV? You know, and, you know, what's wrong with watching TV? Nothing's wrong with watching TV. Until you make it 2, 3, 4, 6 hours, but yet you don't have 30 minutes to read your word or to pray. You know, just like Sandy mentioned, and Keith Tusey, and yeah, Pastor John, God intended us for greatness. Do we really understand that? Greatness. Like, and even the way we say it, I mean, that's like a word that should be shouted. It's greatness. It's not even something that should be, you know. What does greatness mean? Anyone? What does it mean to be great? Come on, guys. I like this. I looked it up. It says exceptionally high quality. You know, we see these TVs, high quality, or these, you know, IT stuff, high quality. It's not HD. It's exceptionally high quality. It's like three steps higher. Excellence, perfection, mightiness. God destined us for those things. So who does God say we are? Where should we place our identity? You know, who are we? Are we just that single mom, or are we just that worker, or that friend or daughter? We're so much more. John 1:12 says we are children of God. Romans 15:7 says we're accepted. You know that a lot of us suffer from rejection. And I'm like, I don't suffer from rejection. That's not something that's one of my things, you know. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, yes, I do. In a different sense. And I think you can take words, and I suffer from rejection because of my ex-husband rejected me. Because of the relationships I've had, I've been rejected. So I struggle with, I don't know how do you word that, with the male portion of just feeling rejected by men. Not any man, but you know what I mean, I think. That's why I have a hard time, some of you know, when I, yeah, there's a single man, I have a hard time speaking to them. I get nervous and red and purple, and I don't know what to say or do. Okay, let's not talk about that because I'll turn red. Okay. Yes. Okay, Genesis 1:27. God created us in his image. He created us in his image. Jeremiah 1:5. We are set apart. Yes. 1 Peter 2:9. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I mean, doesn't this just pump you up? I mean, when we're, you know, have those days, and you know, the sad thing is sometimes I catch myself at work or just, you know, how you doing today? I'm all right, you know. And I'm a representation of this, of God, and that's how I respond. How you doing today? I'm okay. 1 Samuel 12:22. For his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord is pleased to make you his own. And I love to hold on to this, and I always say, you know, we are the daughters of the Most High King. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. I remember, in Keith Tusey's message, he talked about, do you guys remember, he talked about identity theft and how the devil uses that to try to have us identify with these things that we carry. There will be opposition. And then he says, we are not qualified to do these things, but we are called to. I surely am not qualified to get up here and speak in front of you guys. But look at me. Carol made me do it. And so many things. I mean, just look back. We're not, we don't have the power, the strength, the courage to do things, but God has brought us forth and given us those things. We can't do it on our own, in our own strength, in our own words. Our God has a grand plan for our life. Not a plan, not a so-so plan. He has a grand plan. Let us not limit ourselves to what we're capable of. Let's go beyond measure. Let's do amazing things in the name of Christ. You know, Sandy used the term of the leaky roof, and Keith Tusey used the term clean out the garage. Or for me, it could be get my car to get fixed. You know, it's time. And like Sandy said, it's a great time right now. And it was funny when she said that. I'm like, that's what I was thinking when we were starting to prepare that this, even though it's September, October, even though it's fall, I don't know, this time of year is just new beginnings, new things. Let's start again. You know, I don't know if maybe in January because of the cold and we're kind of confined to our homes and don't do as much, but this time of year, at least in this state, I think it's a new beginning, a time to start fresh, to do new things. Have a new plan. How many of you are planners? Wendy, raise your hand. You know, even though, and this is so funny because she struggles with that, but I'm learning to be more of a planner because I'm not, and I need to be. I found this quote on planning, which I thought was pretty cool. It says, planning is bringing the future into the present so that you can do something about it. Isn't that good? Planning is bringing the future into the present so you can do something about it. Right now. You guys want to do something about those things right now? So, what we've done is we wanted to take Keith Tusey's message one step ahead and work on a plan. You know, some of you went, I had to leave early that day. I caught about half of his message, but some of you went up there and wrote things, and we're not saying you were healed or you were delivered from that thing that day, but some of us, like Sandy said, we carry those things. You know, we might write it down and then we keep carrying it. Sometimes having a plan helps us focus and keep focus on that thing that we need to work on. So that's kind of what activity we have for you, and we don't have a lot of time left. Faith and Belle, if you can help pass out the cards, and Sandy will pass out another handout. So we want to help you to devise a plan for that thing. Okay, everyone should a little cardboard half a sheet. A list of scriptures, a two-page. I'm sorry if the font's small. I was trying to get them all on there and didn't want... No, I don't. Yes, you can share the scriptures. Yeah, we printed out. I was planning on 30, and I think we have close to 40 here today, which is great. Yes. Awesome. So we wanted to put this on a cardstock because we want this to be something you look back at, something you put in your Bible. I mean, if you... You know, are comfortable putting it on your refrigerator, you can do that as a reminder. You can put it in your prayer closet. You can put it in a place where you are constantly looking at it. And we're asking you for the next 30 days of your life Anybody to accept can do, this challenge.
Anybody can do anything for 30 days, right?
Right. Yes. So, you know, I always think a date's important because, you know, we want you to hold on to this and we want you to look back in a week, in 2 weeks, or in a year. So put the date on there, today being the 13th.
Can I say one thing?
Of course.
Okay. It came up on my memories, I think, and I posted it yesterday. It's a quote that I love. If you want something you never had, you have to do something you've never done. Amen. So we have to do something different. And this is about doing that different thing. Okay? So go ahead.
Okay, so number one, recognizing it. What's that thing? And, you know, we went back and forth and talked about, you know, that thing can be one thing for you. It can be two or three. You know, like I said, at first, I didn't really think I had a thing. I have several things. Procrastination. I struggle feeling inadequate. Like, I'm not comfortable doing things or I don't fit in. Not part of the group. I'm a little different. I'm that outsider. We talked about idolatry, you know, putting those other things, you know, above God, spending that time and energy with those things instead of with God or in His Word and in prayer. And I'm also impatient. I don't have a lot of patience with people. Lord, help me with that, please. And I try not to show it, but I feel it inside. And it festers and makes me angry and makes me a lot of things that are not godly.
What were some of the things that were, you guys, if you don't mind, if anybody wants to say, it doesn't have to be your thing. What do you think are some of the biggest things? Just shout it out. You have my permission.
Doubt, fear, insecurity, pride, anxiety.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Okay. And I think, yeah, just going back to what I'm saying, because sometimes it's not something, you know, you have to really pray about it and seek what that thing is. It's not always that obvious, you know, to everyone. To yourself. Sometimes you have to seek and ask what that thing is. The second part of this plan is the most important. I named that prayer commitment. You know, how many know prayer is the most important thing we can do? It's very important.
Okay.
We're asking you to set a prayer goal. That goal can be, I'm going to wake up and pray for 20 minutes in the morning. That could be, I'm going to create a prayer closet. Some of us don't have a prayer closet. Some of us, I'm going to go seek prayer from my pastor's wife or counseling. That could be, I'm going to pray and fast, like Brian talked about last Sunday at the breakfast. You know, what is that goal for you? And every time we name a goal, we want to be specific. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do this every day or we're going to do this every other day for this amount of time. Mm. And again, the challenge is for 30 days. We want you to hold on to this paper and commit to it for 30 days.
Can I share something? Mm-hmm. You know, I oftentimes said I was in prayerful thought, but usually anxious thoughts saying, oh, Lord, help me, you know. We're talking about something different than those quick one-liners, you know, like a real relationship where, you know, I'm not going to get to know Debbie anymore unless I spend time with her. I can text her. I think sometimes our prayers are like a text, you know. I just thought that was the Lord. No, but it's the truth. Sometimes my prayers are like a text on my way out the door. But if I want to get to know Debbie, we need to go have coffee again. We need to talk, get to know each other, what's new, what's going on new in our lives and stuff. So that's the kind of prayer time we're talking about, not a text.
And we also talked about that time, that prayer time also might be a time of repentance, you know? when we're speaking to God, asking for forgiveness. It might be seeking forgiveness for our own sins. Did everyone write something down?
You guys can. I mean, if you're like, oh, I'm kind of thinking this and kind of thinking that, you can still firm it up later. You know, but if there's something that came to your mind, like maybe the Lord's already been telling you that thing, write it down. Maybe you already do it. Maybe you're already doing it and it's working. Write it down. You know, just write it down. There's something to writing something down.
And the third step here is renewing your mind. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And Sandy talked about that, renewing our mind. "Then you will be able to test and approve that God's will, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So how do we renew our mind? We take the negative thoughts and the things out, and we put God's word in. So that's what that sheet of paper with the verses, and these are just sample, some of the verses that we found. Now, if you know a verse that you hold on to and want to use that, but these are some sample ones you can look through. And what are we going to do with these verses? Are we just going to write them down and, you know, do we need to memorize them? So when we're going through that thing, you know, we can use God's word. Just like when Jesus was on the hill in Matthew, right? He used God's word against the devil. Are we going to, you know, we can put them on the fridge. We can write them on sticky notes. We can put them throughout our house or our car. We could make them a frame. We should know these verses as part of us, as our attack against the enemy when he comes.
You know, to whatever that thing is, you might want to drill down a little deeper. You might not find them on the sheet that we just gave you. You might find one or two that are really, really good, that really speak to you. And if you do, write that down. But you might want to, like if you're struggling with a spirit of fear, you're going to want to dig down deep. You're going to want to hear what the word, what the word says and what the Lord says, because we've been believing a lie for a really long time, so we have to change it out. You remove something, you got to replace it with something with the truth. So that's part of this 30-day commitment. If you guys, is that something you think you want to do? Is that something you're interested in, something that you think you need? You guys like that idea?
Yeah.
Doing that? Okay. Good.
You know, some of the verses here that that I'm going to use, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind." You know, he gives us the power. Another thing, when we want, you know, those negative thoughts, ideas, or things to come in, it says Philippians 4:8. "Brothers and sister, whatever..." Yeah, I thought it said think of these things somewhere in there, but I guess... Oh, it does at the end. Okay. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." That's what we should focus our mind on. Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And then Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?"
Amen. The next breakfast, we're going to revisit this, and we're going to see the progress that we made. So I hope you guys will come then too, and I'll be praying for each and every one of you. I know we all will, for us to do this for 30 days. You know, a lot can happen. Habits can be formed. In that amount of time, your life can change. You know, just I'm excited, and I need this too. You know, we need it too. So we're going to play a song to close, and then we'll have Carol close us out in prayer, and we'll call it a day.
fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the things that you are showing us. And we thank you that you have given us the tools to defeat the enemy, that you have given us the tools to be strong, to go forward and not to go backwards, Lord, to do the things that you want us to do so we can bring glory to your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. I pray that these women see how you see them, not how they see them, not how the world sees them, but how you see them, and that they would believe that the words you say are true, that the love you have for them is true, that the future you have for them is true, that they are strong in you, Lord God, that their strength is derived from you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray that they would tap in to your strength, Lord God, that they would take this seriously and they would do their homework and know that you are with them and that you give them the strength. Bless their day, Lord God. Bless their time with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the for you have never failed me yet. Promise still stands great.